time now to head across the ditch and have a chat to Mickey Guerin. Before we do, Peter Moody has sent the SMS machine into overdrive after he was very passionate about what he had to say about the steward's integrity and maybe the way participants are perceived of being cheats if they just make a mistake, which is what basically has been said of the steward Dion Vellella there, and also his impassioned plea to keep Sandown. Well said, Moods. Save Sandown. Moody is right. Sandown is the best track, and they want to sell it. That's from Hariba. I just had to edit that on the run, Hariba. A little bit of colourful language there. Peter is right on stewards and integrity. Hear, Moods on both counts. That's from Michael in Brisbane. How good is it having Moods back in racing? Well said, Moods. Stand on your digs. Save Sandown. Morning, PG Moody. Great passion. Someone talking sense. That's great to hear from Tony in Kilmore. And that is just a small snapshot of the SMSs which are coming through. Mick, good morning to you. You probably didn't get to hear Peter Moody, but he was at his best a little while ago. Here's a little snippet of what Moods had to say about the possibility of Sandown being rezoned and developed.
Ooh. I can't believe it. Okay. I want to reinforce Mick Kent's comments the other day. Why the bloody hell is it even being considered? A beautiful galloping track like that. It's an asset to the industry. Why is it even being considered? You tell me another organisation or business in the world that sells their assets and invests in something they don't own that isn't going to end up in a shit fight. It's a beautiful galloping track. Every participant loves it. We don't need another goat track inside Caulfield.
You've got to love Moods. We need people like Moods who are passionate and are happy to give their opinions, because that's what it's all about in racing. How are you, Mick?
Mate, I'm well. Actually, Michael, I'm behind. Good morning to all your listeners around Victoria. We're going through something very similar in Auckland, which is the biggest city in New Zealand. We have three galloping tracks here, Ellerslie obviously being the big one, so that's our Flemington. Then we have Avondale, which is run down, but it's a great track. The actual track itself was really good, but no one wants to go there. And we had Pukekohe. And under the new mega club system, where they're going to build this huge club in Auckland, which they absolutely need, Avondale will close in 5 years. So we're going through something very similar, where a really good track will close, but it's a place, and I'm not trying to be derogatory to Sandown, it's a place where people don't go in big numbers to the races quite as much. So we'll go through something similar. Two things are different. Obviously, we need the money. We're in a position where we absolutely 100% need the money. And secondly, you know, it's not worth as much to us to keep it. We don't race, I don't know how many times Sandown races a year. I presume it's about 18 to 20. We don't race that many times a year at Avondale. So I can see why we're doing it as in Auckland. It's a must for us. But I can see, when people like Mick Kent and Moods start saying that sort of stuff, I'll listen to them. The bottom line is, though, Michael, it comes down to money. If someone said to you, we'll give you $10 for Sandown, say, no, it's ridiculous. If someone said, we'll give you $20 billion, you say, yes. What you're eventually aching about is money. That's all it comes down to, and whether it's a smart thing. Because if they gave you $20 billion, of course you'd take it. So I totally understand what Peter is saying, but that's my attitude to closing any track outside, of course, the iconic tracks, the, you know, the Flemingtons and the Randwicks and our case, the Ellerslies.
Well, speaking of racing in New Zealand at the moment, I know the synthetic surface at Cambridge, winter racing over there, it's a lot wetter than it is over here. What's the winter racing period looking like in New Zealand?
It's funny you should ask that. We had our third synthetic meeting on Wednesday at Cambridge, and I know a lot of people don't particularly like synthetic surfaces, and some punters get very angry. Them been a godsend in New Zealand, Michael, for a very obvious reason. Our winter tracks are proper winter tracks. Like, sometimes it's like racing at Warrnambool during the middle of a wet carnival every week for 3 months, and you just can't race the good horses. You can't race two-year-olds. It's brutal. The synthetic track at Cambridge, which is the biggest training area in New Zealand, means that people aren't scared to run horses or have a bet or run those late-season two-year-olds. So three meetings in, it also hasn't shown any decisive leader bias, which is what everybody fears when they think about synthetic tracks. They worry about that. It's been a godsend for New Zealand racing. Now, they're getting another one at Riccarton, which is in Christchurch. I'm not entirely sure they need one there, but, again, it can get pretty wet down that way. And then one at Awapuni, which is in the middle of the North Island. So these three tracks are going to help because winter racing in New Zealand can be very dreary, apart from the beautiful spectacle of jumps racing. So while in Australia there's some people who don't like the synthetic tracks, over here that is by far the lesser of two evils. What we actually do is this time of year, over the next sort of six Saturdays, Michael, the Ellerslies and those big tracks don't race at all. They will barely not race. And everybody's going to head to a place called Ruakaka. Now, I'm sure no one listening to this knows where that is. That's up near Whangarei, which is about 2 hours north of Auckland. So you're getting to a really warm climate up there. It's a different sort of climate than you have in the rest of the country. And the track there is better. So no one really wants to go there because to get from Cambridge, where all the horses are, for Tony Pike and Murray Baker and those sort of people, to Ruakaka is a five-hour road trip. But it's the only other chance of getting dry tracks in New Zealand. So we have to work around it a lot more than you guys do in Victoria. Getting back to the first thing you spoke about, by us selling Avondale, so I take Mood's point, but in this case, when you're as cash poor as we are, and that money, by the way, is going to be invested into an investment fund, which they're hoping to build up for this mega club, $250 million. They're hoping to have $250 million invested in hedge funds to help make Auckland racing sustainable. Part of that money is going to go to making Ellerslie a Stradivarius track, because Ellerslie is a wonderful track, but it can get very deep when it rains in Auckland because it can rain properly. So they're going to try and put a strat here and there. So that's how our situation relates to your situation, but we're a lot poorer in New Zealand with our racing. We have a lot more issues and a lot less money, so therefore our hand is far more forced.
Just a quick one before I ask about what's going on in the harness world. What was the reaction to the 10-year suspension handed down to Jason Waddell?
Look, two things. First of all, it had to happen because Jason was abusive of racing administrators and in a very violent way. I wouldn't say Jason was a personal friend, but he's someone I've spent a lot of time with. And he's had his issues with mental health, which doesn't excuse what he did, but also he's had his issues with drugs. And as anybody cutting through the chase, as anybody in racing knows, if you have issues with drugs and it becomes the worst of drugs, what you guys call ice or VP, people's behaviour is incredibly, erratic. It's a real shame. 2 years ago, he was the second leading black type jockey in New Zealand behind Opie Bosson. He's not a bad guy, but he's gone down the wrong path in his life, and I hope he reclaims his life in some way. I just don't think it'll ever be on a racetrack again, because you can't threaten racing administrators that you're going to kill them and expect to go back to work, even though I think they were idle threats. Threats are still threats.
It's just a sad story all around. And just on harness racing, what's happening over there? I know there's been a lot of talk about the Jewels, where it may be held.
Yeah, well, the Jewels were massive, and what they've decided to do is to totally rejig the New Zealand harness racing calendar. There's a good chance it's going to go to summer. Everybody go, yay, that's cool. But they need to find it a home. Good carnivals have a home. You know, the tuck carnivals at Flemington, Warrnambool's at Warrnambool. You need a home for carnivals. You can't keep bouncing it from one place to the other. I think they'll settle on a home as Cambridge, as New Zealand's preeminent racing town. The Gallops people get behind the carnival. I think the Jewels, the harness racing carnival, end up at Cambridge. And tomorrow at Alexandra Park, they actually have what's called the Uncut Gems of the Jewels Constellation meeting. I really like the meeting, Michael. I don't often have more than two or three bits a week. It's very much against my modus operandi. I like four or five on an 11-race card tomorrow. So really keen to get involved in the punt. A horse called Pembroke Playboy. I expect a massive turnaround in form from him. The horse called IC Fire in race four. If it trots all the way, it'll be winning. Horse called Hot and Treacherous. I just really like the meeting. I'm not going to bombard people with information, but we'll put those previews and stuff out on Twitter tomorrow if you're that way inclined. But I don't often say this, but at the meeting tomorrow, we're all going to back four or five.
Gee whiz. Four or five tomorrow. Okay.
For me, that's a full week, Michael. That's I wouldn't have five bits most weeks.
I'm getting a message from someone who you know very well saying that there might be one that you like in Australia. Is there one called Spirit of St. Louis?
Oh, it'll be the wonderful. There's a horse called Spirit of St. Louis turned up in Luke McCarthy's stable. Very, very fast horse. Only concern is he's got a slightly choppy gait. and horses with choppy gaits can do things wrong at high speed. I like the horse. I'm not going to get as carried away as some other people just yet, because horses with choppy gaits can make mistakes, although Luke McCarthy can tend to clear those things up. But on the harness racing front in Australia, the Queensland Carnival could well be as big a Queensland Carnival as they've ever had. They've got it right, Queensland. They're doing some really innovative things in harness racing, Michael. And I think their carnival over the next 6 weeks will be as good a time in harness racing as we've had in winter, probably in the last 20 years in Australia. So if you're interested in harness racing in Australia, look out for Albion Park the next 5 or 6 weeks. Two of those weeks, Michael, will be the last 2 weeks on Sky Television for our good friend Adam Hamilton. He's moving away from TAB. He has plenty of other offers, I'm sure, but his time on Sky, which has been one hell of an innings, will be coming to an end. And I would suggest that Adam, probably the 12th and the 24th, I think it'll be, or something like that, of July, Adam will be on air at Albion Park, and that will be very much an end of an era, because nobody on harness racing television in Australasia has made a bigger contribution than him. So I hope they give him an appropriate send-off and an appropriate hangover.
No doubt about it. And the good news is you can still hear Hammo here on RSN 927. So when did that preview drop for our listeners tomorrow?
Mate, it'll be on Twitter in the morning. And as I said, it don't go crazy. There's a lot of $2 to $3 chances here at a harness racing meeting. But it's a meeting, Michael, which probably three times a year I see when I go, right, I'm getting proper involved here.
You'll have a lot of RSN listeners very excited, Mick. Enjoy. Good luck.
Thanks, Michael. I hope all the listeners have a good weekend.
All right, Mickey Guerin there. All right, we'll follow that up tomorrow. There is a legion of fans eagerly awaiting for those tips from Mickey Guerin. We're a little late for the 10 o'clock news. On the other side of that, more winners with Mark Hunter.